Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, 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 this is RTR Truth Media, and a very happy Easter. We're having a special show today, of course. I guess it's no different than any other Sunday, but in a way it is. And we have Rachel with us today, Rachel Tobias, of course. I think Tom's a little under the weather, so just keep him in your thoughts.
Hey, Chris. How's it going, Rachel? Hey, happy Easter, and yeah, I'm sad to hear about Tom not feeling well.
Yep. So we'll get through it, give you guys some news and some commentary on what's going on. I'm here in New Jersey. I know Rachel's our neighbor in New York, and we're two of the states that have kind of been taking a lot of the brunt of the C virus stuff. Our governor here in New Jersey, Governor Murphy, as of April 8th, has literally made it illegal, according to the executive order in the state of New Jersey, to visit or do any commerce without a mask in public. Literally, you cannot go into a grocery store, a gas station, a bank, a pharmacy, anything, a convenience store. They will refuse your entrance into the commercial property if you do not have a mask or a bandana around your face or a shirt around your face. I mean, you could, you know, have a whole burqa around your head and you'd be good, I guess. But no. Good old-fashioned man and woman with a mouth, you know, breathing. That's illegal, according to Executive Order 122. Is anything similar going on in New York, Rachel?
So, as that I'm aware of right now, I haven't seen anything like that. The only executive order I saw that Cuomo issued today was if you are, quote-unquote, like an essential business employer, you have to give your employees... You have to provide them with like masks and gloves and protective gear. So that's the only thing that I saw recently. I haven't seen anything saying that you can't enter, you know, a business without a mask. And then something we do have to keep in mind, which is like a combination of the policies being passed, but also what the stores choose to do, whether or not they choose to comply, whether or not the stores choose to do other things. So we have a combination of all kinds of different people taking these measures, which, again, I understand the backdrop of health and the context of the virus. But that being said, we have to ask ourselves, do these measures line up with the science that we know? You know, do these measures make sense? Like, for instance, I've mentioned before, when I go to CVS or different stores, all the stores have, you know, people are wearing masks and gloves, especially employees, although a lot of people are just wearing them in general. And then you have the tape on the ground of where people are standing. But I've mentioned everyone's using the same credit card machine. Everyone's touching the same items.
Yep.
So we have to ask ourselves if it makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody knows how cross-contamination works, all that stuff. They're just blindly wearing masks and gloves because they're told, hey, that's what you got to do. I was barred entry from Walmart on Saturday, I believe. They told me I didn't have a mask, and I put my shirt over my mouth. I was like, is this okay? They're like, no, you need another shirt. You need to wrap it around your head. I was like, all right, I'm good. So I just left.
Which, by the way,
I went to shop, right?
By the way, Chris, I'm certainly not implying that this is, you know, an Islamic-driven psyop or what have you. But I do find the irony in that, you know, we live in America. Sure. We love our freedom. And yet they're kind of forcing everyone to cover up.
It's very weird. It sure is, because I'm not too old, but I do remember when I was little in the 90s and stuff with the crack epidemic up in the West, and the gang thing became super, super big. It was a big deal. Colors became big, like red, blue, and you couldn't wear those colors, like let alone a mask into a store. Are you kidding me? Like the cops would be there in a minute. But now, hey, they're literally telling you wear that bandana, you know, rock that around your face. You have to wear it. In fact, I went into ShopRite and it was after the executive order had already been in effect. I hadn't read it yet, apparently. This was the 9th. It went into effect on the 8th. But some stores, I guess, hadn't implemented it already. So I went to ShopRite. Me and three other people in the whole entire store didn't have masks on. And we were masked, as I can describe it. You're looked at like you are sick. You know, you're a disease. You're terrible. They stay away from you. They purposely like keep like 12, 10 feet from you. They give you wide berth. So I guess it's kind of cool in the shop, but, it was interesting. I mean, people just don't get it. And I've decided if I need to go out and get something, because they literally won't let you in there and I'm not going to, you know, get arrested and be away from my family and over this thing. I'm just going to write public or political things on my mask, you know, research event 201 or Bill Gates. I don't know. I haven't thought of it yet, but I mean, something. It's just getting ridiculous. I don't have much more on it. I'm just kind of disgusted by it all. People really don't know. They really don't know what's going on with this virus. They just believe what the idiot box tells them in the corner of their room. It matters little if people are saying one thing on TV and writing other things in medical journals. It matters little what's actually happening with the numbers from these hospitals or how the CDC is taking these, you know, COVID deaths or COVID cases. The facts matter little. As long as the fear is great enough and they have done their job, as for the mainstream media and the talking heads and the countries are all lined up together saying the same thing, they can make this world pandemic a reality, which they've done. And they showed us they could do it in October with Event 201, Bill Gates in Manhattan. They simulated it. Here it is, and it's happening.
Which, Chris, I just want to add a couple of things here. If someone were to say, well, what is so wrong with Chris Cuomo, you know, having these executive orders forcing employers to give their employees protection? Well, here's the deal. You know, it sounds good on paper, but let's say the employer can't get a hold of masks or gloves, right? Let's say you're a business who managed to stay open, but you can't get access to those things. It gives the enforcers like another reason to come to your business and harass you and say that, you know, you're mistreating your workers or what have you, even though the context is it might be difficult to get a hold of that equipment. So plus, combine that with, you know, I have mentioned previous times, we still keep seeing photo ops of at least, you know, Cuomo with a bunch of people, never social distancing. Same goes for the crowd of that virus task force, right? Nobody's wearing gloves. Nobody is using masks and social distancing. So I'm not saying people, I do think people are getting sick and I'm not downplaying that. But clearly, if this was something where bodies are falling in the streets, right? Like, you would think our quote-unquote authoritarians would wear this equipment. Like, why is there such a double standard going on? You can't have it both ways, right? You can't declare that, like, you go outside and you die, combined with, you know, and New York, too. They just released this whole video, which is very odd on Cuomo's Twitter feed, showing, like, a bunch of people staying home, and they're like, stay home, save lives. If you go out, you know, it's your fault, you're going to kill people. And what right do you have to put other people at risk? And they are treating this like a war front where the best thing we can do is stay home. It's like very weird.
How about the cases where people are isolating at home and then they come down with COVID-19? I mean, what's that then? Explain that, guys.
Right. Or even, I'm sure you're probably going to bring
up, they've
been
in isolation.
I don't know if it was the WHO. I know Tucker Carlson mentioned it, where they said, like, if you have a family member that's sick, you know, they could issue authorities to come to your house and take that person away. And it was just like so, so crazy.
Yeah. The CDC and the World Health Organization. You're right. My fiance Rachel actually was looking into that because it concerned her greatly. Like, if you had contact with somebody who is now a COVID case, they're written down as a COVID case, they could trace who that person's come into contact with, so that they could get the asymptomatic individuals also, you know, away from people and all that stuff. I was also watching a live stream yesterday of somebody in Australia who's not an Australian citizen. They were, I guess, coming back from the United States from a trip to Australia and had to quarantine in Australia. And they're essentially in lockdown, like jail-like, you know, quality, like worse than jail food, plenty of water. They said they had plenty of water. But other than that, they were pretty much just like isolated, couldn't leave. And they were told that if they were showing symptoms, they could get a test. But if they weren't showing symptoms, they were not able to get tested. And because he was trying to get away, you know, find a loophole to get out of there, you know, get out of their restriction, their quarantine. So he said, if I take the test and I'm symptomatic, but I'm not, you know, I test negative, even though I'm coughing or sneezing or whatever, I have a fever, you know, can I then be released? And they said, no, it doesn't matter. So it's just literally just a forced quarantine as per, you know, the event 201 guidelines. I mean, they're literally just doing what the simulation called for, period.
It does feel very much like segregation. And also, you know, the whole, I've mentioned on Twitter, the whole Jude yellow patch, you know, kind of thing, where when you have Dr. Fauci saying, hey, there is merit to, and I'm sorry for not providing the link, but he recently said, I think that there is merit to issuing people certificates to show either you have antibodies to this or you've been vaccinated. And we certainly know about Bill Gates, you know, getting on every talk show he can and really inching closer and closer to his dream of getting everyone vaccinated. And so I do hope that people kind of see this for what it is, as that backdrop of, hey, if you leave your house, you're going to die, kind of slowly falls away as the weather gets better, as the numbers, you know, decrease significantly. At what point do you think people are really going to be like, hey, why are they taking these draconian measures? And surely it isn't for our benefit. But a quick question for you. Last time I had checked, which was a while ago, they said 2 million people were going to die, and then it became 600,000. Do you know currently what the estimate of how many deaths will take place in the U.S. because of this?
I'm not sure. I've been staying up on Governor Murphy's Twitter feed and, like, the New Jersey rates. And, I mean, he just seems giddy every time he can give us an update and there's more deaths. It's really getting sickening to me. It seems like he's proud of his state's, like, death toll. I don't even understand that, but I'm trying to look for the United States reported death toll tops 20,000 more than any other country. That's reported CNN on MSNBC. But I'm not sure. I mean, what Bill Gates said in Event 201 was 65 million deaths is what he was kind of hoping for, but we're nowhere near that. So I'm not sure what we're actually looking at here.
Yeah, the last time I did a check on that, I wrote down, like, I think I got the figures from the CDC maybe a week or so ago, and I checked, like, the amount of deaths in the U.S. and divided that by, like, the amount of people that had it, and I think it was, like, a 35% rate of people that had died last I checked. At least it was, like, 14,000 deaths or so in the U.S., and then I forgot how many people were sick, but a majority of those deaths were due to people that were either elderly, had pre-existing conditions. A lot of them happen to be hypertension and diabetes, very high up on that chart. And it was really rare for anyone in very good health or, you know, that didn't have underlying conditions or wasn't elderly to die from this. And I do think that there's a lot of discrepancy going back and forth between, like, in New York, you know, them getting the comfort ship and saying we're going to have 1,000 people on it, and them having 20 people on it. And sorry to skip around, I want to tie in, I watched, and anyone can go on YouTube and type in Event 201 highlights, and it's 11-minute video, and they mention there being a second wave possibly in the fall of this virus, right? Because right now the elite have a blank check to pretty much say, oh, here it comes again, everyone back in your houses, we could tell they're conditioning us. So my thoughts are, and credit to Monica Perez on the Prop Report show, she mentioned perhaps New York is setting up the Java Center and the comfort ship and all these places in anticipation of that second wave, because they know the more beds they have, the more money they can get from the federal government. And even Cuomo was complaining recently that, you know, why is it all these other states are getting more money than New York is when we have more sick people? And clearly it's like, if someone is on a ventilator, you know, they get way more money than if they aren't. It's really thick, this entire business model of what's happening. And it looks like we do have a caller, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, and before we bring that caller on, before I forget and get away from it, I just want to give Americans a realistic idea of what the death rate actually is for people without any pre-existing conditions, without health problems, okay? Here's a very good article from the Gateway Pundit. From the numbers, only 150, counting 150, Americans to date with no pre-existing conditions have actually died from the coronavirus, or a death rate of 0.9%. Okay, keep that in mind. That's the real death rate of people without any underlying conditions, without being, you know, immunodeprived or sick already, the infirmed, 150 people, okay? And the average death age in Italy was 80.5 years old. So keep that in mind, guys. And, yeah, I'd love to take that caller. We have him. Yeah. Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, I was just going to say, and we've seen Dr. Birx come out and say, you know, the CDC declared anyone who had COVID in their system when they died, that's automatically a COVID death, by the way.
Yeah, and it's not, it should be labeled with COVID, death with COVID, not death because of COVID. There's a difference. They know it. They're not stupid. They're playing to the numbers. It's very obvious. And I'd love to take that caller. I didn't catch who it was, but if we have him waiting, please bring him on. He or she.
Hey, I'm here. Dave in Michigan. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Dave?
You know, we have definitely slipped deep into the twilight zone here. And yesterday we were heading out to Amish country, do a little shopping and visit some friends. And I said to the wife, you know, we better grab a couple of bandanas just in case, you know, people don't harass us or freak out because we're not wearing masks. She says, no way am I slipping into Sharia law. It's like, holy cow, you guys are talking about it now. And, you know, she don't listen to this stuff that I listen to, but she's pretty aware, and it was spot on. But I got to tell you, when you wear a mask, you're breathing in your own carbon dioxide, and you're killing yourself. You're going to get sick. And so, you know, I'm going to have to inform the proper authorities there, because I know you're not wearing a mask right now, and I would say that this is a form of you working. So if you, I'm going to collect my $200.
I know you're joking, but yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
It is, it is pure insanity, and who in the hell would listen to Bill Gates? He couldn't even get Windows right. For Tom, I've been wanting to call and talk to him for a long time. My friend and mentor is an 80-year-old naturopathic doctor, a veterinarian, and I say a big game vet. He worked on elephants and rhinos in Africa, and he's also a comparative pathologist. That means he can do autopsies on animals and people. He's probably done somewhere around 42,000 autopsies. And Tom's problem is not, I can't even think of what they're saying he's got, but that should have been eliminated with antibiotics in 2 weeks, okay? It's all about nutrition, and he's eaten the wrong food. So if he follows, it's a simple guideline of avoiding 12 bad foods, and wheat, barley, rye, and oats are the first four, and they are destroying our intestinal system, so we can't absorb nutrition. And these fools that are, you know, creating these food pyramids for us, they know it like the back of their hand, and they are killing us, man. So anyway, it's about 90 essential nutrients, and I'm telling you, in a month, Tom could be back to his old tricks before he ever had that stupid flea and tick-borne disease. Anyway, that's my
I appreciate that, Dave, and I'm sure Tom's listening. It reminds me of Dr. Lorraine Day's, prescription for getting healthy and getting rid of cancer. She got rid of her own cancer. She was on death's door, and she was an oncologist. People in her field were dying of cancer. They didn't know how to cure cancer, but here they are, the professionals. You're right, Dave. I appreciate that. I think we have somebody else holding. I appreciate your call, Dave.
Okay, thank you, guys. Happy Easter.
You too, Dave. God bless.
Take care.
Okay, right after the break, we'll take the next caller. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. We'll be back after the commercial break.
Folks, Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of years. With no provisions, but in no faces, Lord, the straits of fear.
I was muted. I apologize. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for staying with us. I believe we had a caller holding before the break. If we could bring them on, that'd be great.
I think I'm on. Am I here?
Yes. Yes.
It's Mike in Kentucky, or on the land of Kentucky or something like that. Shout out to Tom Lacavera. Not necessarily for the stories he's covered, but for the courage to do it, to get out there in the thick of it. And I guess, I don't know, the Bundys are supposed to be having a big gathering today. Does anybody know the status of that, if there's any Fatterallies about to pounce on them or anything?
I apologize for being ignorant to that. I do not know anything about the Bundys having a gathering today, so if you know something about it, yep.
Well, it's supposed to be in Idaho, and it's literally, you know, maybe 1,000 people going to show up or something. But and I don't know the jurisdictional situations there. It's hard to keep up with what's going on and who's actually under orders or being just threatened if they don't comply with the orders, state, local, federal, then they could be fined, or fines would be implemented if they don't comply. I mean, it's really confusing to keep up with all of what you're supposed to be doing. And a lot of times it's up to the individual businesses to say, look, if you don't wear a mask, then we're going to ask you to leave. Or if you don't keep your distance and we've got too many in the store, or whatever. So, I mean, I've sat here and sat through hours after hours after hours of a Trump's and our governor's, musings on this. And, you know, after a while, you just zone out. It's about like being yelled at by a preacher on Sunday for 2 hours, and you're like, what the heck? Yeah. I mean, you know, how is this edifying? Let's cut to the chase. Can we have some bullet points here on where we're at this moment today, on what we're supposed to be doing? But now, what I would like to say is, we don't know, and there's probably 800,000 compartmentalized people, if you believe, I can't remember if it was Scott Bennett or Kevin Shipp that came out with that there's 800 and some thousand, close to 900,000 operatives that have security clearance in this country, and it's all compartmentalized. And as William Binney says, when he left the NSA, he couldn't possibly know what all was going on there. Russell Tice said there are things after the Snowden leaks and the Advanced Network Catalog, and he came out with all the suspicion that there's a huge network of blackmail and extortion going on at the upper levels of our government and industry and public-private partnerships with Israel, driving our policies all over the map. I think the NSA had a memo about that the policies and practices of our intelligence community are being driven by the needs of the partner, not the needs of the U.S. You can go look that up. So
how do you like that, huh?
Yeah, we do not know what all they've done to try to mitigate this. Now, in germ warfare, there's a lot of top secret stuff that's been going on for literally decades, if not back into the Nazi era. And so if they quickly CRISPR gene copied a version of this and then edited it into a non or less lethal version and set backfires in the suspected hot spots, then that could explain why we have some people that are getting a mild version, getting over it, or incubating it for 14 to 21 days, and they test positive, and then they get over it, test negative, and then they're testing positive again when they get the real one. And the real one is their immune system fights it off because they've had this less lethal version already been exposed to it. I think, you know, the symptoms that they've described sound a lot like stuff that people had back in November in my area of Kentucky.
Yes.
And so
same here.
Yeah, it's hard, and so I think it's very hard for us to know what's going on, but the old cui bono Latin applies. Who benefits? China would not benefit from killing off their own whatever labor force, slave labor force, if they're trying to blame them on creating this. Who benefits? Who took over the Fed?
Yeah.
What ethnic group is now in control with majority stock?
It's very obvious.
And they got bailed out in the last big mortgage-backed security, which they didn't fix anything from the last financial bubble popping. And Barack Obama, when he was told about it, said he wanted to jump out of a window. I mean, have you heard that? He was talking to somebody at MIT and thought it was going to be in confidence, and they just flat out asked him, hey, what'd you think when W gave you that full Monty naked truth presidential daily brief? And he goes, I was glad there was bars on a window of the building I was in because I wanted to jump out a window. And so I think it was because he was being told that the financial implosion was about to happen.
Sure.
It was going to be under his watch. And they haven't fixed anything to do with this.
Uh-huh.
They haven't fixed anything to do with it. So
no,
it's all a big perception management game, and so it's going to be really hard for us to know what the truth is. I think we need to get fed up with a lot of the local games that are going on in our neighborhood. I'm somewhat of a journalist, like Tom Lackaver Stewart is. We had one of our TV studios burned down because somebody would not participate in a criminal thing that a former friend or whatever wanted them to do. And And over the years, I've had several calls to the studio for people wanting me to take my camera and film things that were going on with current public officials or even some people in uniform. And I've started seeing the bumper stickers, on the trucks. The rednecks are fed up with this crap, and they know what's going on. Pike County's municipal bonds were declared junk status about a year and a half ago. So that's a great way to pull the rug out from underneath the local governments and start jerking their credit rating out from underneath of them. And they can't borrow money to keep the water infrastructure going or the utilities in place. And, you know, they've done a war on coal on us all the while, going out of Wyoming, four times more coal than the entire state of West Virginia for the last 10 years. I confronted Rand Paul about this up in Vanceburg, and there was a bunch of people there for a public town hall meeting, and I didn't ask any questions until he got two or three questions from the public about the war on coal. And then I tried to bring it up. I said, look, guy, there's not really a war on coal when there's four times more coal going out of the Powder River Basin, which I only found out about due to Kent Hovind talking about it on one of his videos. If you know how they ran Kent Hovind through the ringer.
Yes,
you know,
I do.
And threw him into jail for like 7 years. Well, I'm on a tear this morning because I read about a journalist on Republic Broadcasting or Blacklisted News, Dan or whoever runs that site, I forgot his name. He put up a story about a journalist who the cops raided his house, kidnapped him, stole a bunch of his property, and he finally, after he got ran through the ringer because he actually could find a damn lawyer that would take his case, he got $369,000. And I guess that means the lawyer's got another $150,000, if you know they take like 60% of the cut or more.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, blew the whistle on some stuff that public need to know about what's going on with the cops. I've had, I don't know, over the years, the last two decades, I've had probably four or five incidents where people try to get me to, you know, show proof or whatever, some of the crap that's going on. And the bumper stickers on the rednecks trucks, you know, starting to show up in the last year or two is kill your local drug dealer. I think the cops and the courts need to realize that if there's no remedy in the courts, you're going to end up with vigilante justice. It's starting to show up on the
That's
bumper
true.
Stickers. So
yeah,
they need to get their act together. They need to get their act together and stop this crap. A bunch of our families are fed up with it. We're losing a whole generation. You look at the heat maps of this. They're trying to blame it on the Chinese, you know. This chemical warfare that's going on where they catch
Don't
a sport.
Buy it.
They catch a sport utility vehicle in Kansas or heading toward the Mexican border. It's got enough of this car fentanyl to kill 19 million Americans. Now, is that not chemical warfare? I mean, and you look at the heat maps for where they're targeting people, the highest per 100,000 deaths, not counting just all the ruined lives, but it goes from Northern California through Oklahoma and a lot of the rural areas where you have Protestant Bible Belt people, Eastern Maine, you know, a lot of conservatives are losing their younger generation for this, and it's been going on long enough that we need to get a clue about it and start real. You know, why? I don't know. Have you followed this much at all? How come they watch dealers for 18 months or something crazy like that before they arrest them? And then take them before a grand jury.
To see which ones they're going to work with and which ones they're going to cut out. Because they're just as corrupt and dirty and despicable as the gangs on the ground. The biggest gang out there, in my own opinion, is the police. And I know it. You know, God knows that I know that there are some good men out there who wear the uniform.
Well,
there are.
I try to
But by and large, they're a big gang.
I try to take, real quick and I'll let you go. I try to take aside a local business owner that I liked. He had advertised with me for a little while. I took him aside and under the guise of talking to him about bringing him back as an advertiser. And then I told him, I said, look, I just found out that your business is being watched for over a year because you've got a dealer in here that's associated with one of your workers. And he wasn't a local person. He was a transplant in this community. And he backed up for me. He didn't think, I would have thought he'd, you know, thought ahead about this, but he backed up for me and very loudly in this echoey spot place, he said, I don't care if the cops are watching my place. I'm glad they are. And so I went back to work and just said, okay, guy, I'll give you a heads up. I go back to work. I come out from work hours later in the dark. My tire is slashed, which I had a nice used $10 tire in a Boy Scout. Mm-hmm. I was able to, and of course I had a round in the chamber. I changed my tire in the dark. I can see very good in the dark, and I can paint a smiley face about 25 to 50 old feet away with most self-defense arms. I self-taught myself 22 years ago off the record using off-the-record guns so people don't know what I've got stashed, okay? And I'm just letting it be known. I will defend myself. I don't care who it is. I recognize you or not, because the network of nefarious crap going on around this town of Kim Davis and further out is not something we need to keep putting up with. And so my question to everybody here that's listening is, who slashed my tire? I don't think it was the business owner. I'm not really sure it was the drug dealer. I think it might have been the damn cops that was watching the place for all that time and cherry-picking off the little teenagers that were driving down the street that bought some junk in the parking lot from the guy, because I was messing with their gig. You know, I've talked to people
if
on the
grand
jury.
If you're not playing with them, you're against them.
Well, and I mean, over the years, like I say, I've had ex-military people talk to me about stuff that they were involved with, and seeing, you know, some of the stuff. You know, one guy was a driver for a certain government agency, and he would go fetch the women from the strip joints while they went and raided all the evidence lockers so they could have their big party at a government installation. And I've talked to other people that used to work for the FBI that were at these swap meets in another state, you know, and people in uniform are trading all kinds of crap around. And you're like, what? I mean, Hosea, make a chain for the land, for the land is fully bloody crimes. I think we've got a chance here to reset our society with this coronavirus. And people that are in the know on this, that are drying out, I think you need to get tech-savvy enough to blow the whistle on a bunch of this stuff, and we can clean house. You know, QAnon or not. So, you know, I'll let you go with that, and hopefully
we can
humble ourselves before our Creator, and posterity will prevail. Talk to you later.
No,
thanks,
I appreciate it, Mike.
They want to interrupt his story.
Yeah, no, me either, but very good information. I think we've also had a caller in Utah holding. Tom, I believe? There's a...
Yes.
Good.
Most people, they run away from me because I have too many facts, I think. The caller before the last, he referred to one of my students, Lorraine Day, Dr. Lorraine Day.
Yes.
I've got to just tell you, I had to fine-tune her on the pathology from my work up at Petaluma, which is the Coast Guard Marine Biology Station. And
excellent.
So I'd taken fine-tuner on the pathology or the risk of diseases coming out of fish. What I got to tell you, though, is they can quarantine the families. They can quarantine individuals. But as long as they drag in the livestock products, they can be infected in quarantine. And then they can be accused, like a few I already heard about, where they succumb to the virus brought into them in their livestock products. So then they go out and they claim that they've been in contact with an individual prior to that. And like you say, sometimes they'll even go in with the intent to pull a child. I mean, I have done so many cases where Child Protective Services had to do battle and get children to return to the family when I had actually proved the injury or the malaise with the child was not caused by the parents. And that's my worry right now, when they have everybody quarantined or, what do you call it, sequestered. But the primary vector for the disease has not been quarantined or sequestered. So you can end up with people, even in quarantine, that end up sickened, even to the point where their family is disrupted as a consequence, like you're referring to, where they want to come in and take one individual out.
It's a very good point. And you said you were working out of where now? I'm sorry, your name was Tom, correct?
Uh-huh.
With Dr. Lorraine Day?
She would have me come down. I would be working at Petaluma. That's the Coast Guard Marine mm-hmm. Biology Station. Periodically, they'd invite me up there to help them do pathology on the fish and the sea lions and the sea life. And that's where every organism on the planet accumulates, within the oceans, ocean life. So I would stop at the University of San Francisco, California, where Dr. Rain Day was working in the hospital. And I brought her up to speed or tuned, I just say fine-tuned her on that aspect of of disease transfer. You know, I always turn people off because I say I'm a vegan. They get all freaked out thinking you're cuckoo. But the reason I became a vegan is because I worked in veterinary pathology and human pathology, 40 years of my life in that work. And I had to come to my own crisis to finally realize I needed to respect my science. I just tell people that, the microscope does not lie. But we do have a statement among the scientists. We say, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And that's what they're doing right now. They're telling you all this nonsense about the death rate, I think your other host there was referring to, that in almost every case of death, there is an underlying chronic condition that causes them to die, and it's not the virus. I mean, people that are generally healthy and get the virus, and by the way, I haven't had to deal with flu or a cold for the last 30 years since I decided to respect my own science. Yet people will mock me. And I say, it's sad that you're mocking because you don't know the benefit. If you have the facts, you can avoid the virus altogether. Now, I will tell you that I tell Ken, that's your producer, he has a dog there, and I say, love your dog, pet your dog, just don't eat him.
Yeah.
By the way, I tell people, love your pets. In fact, my wife freaked out one time. I brought my horse into the kitchen. And she was all worried that it was going to take a dump on the floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, having this horse and having these chickens that I had in my yard, I didn't eat the chickens. I used them for insecticide work. They're the best insecticide you can put on your garden. If you're planting tomatoes and other things, turn the chickens loose in that garden. They'll take out all the tomato hornworms and the grubs and that. But as soon as your tomatoes come on, you kind of keep them from going in there unless you get an infestation of insects again. Because they will choose the insects over the tomatoes. But if the insects are all gone, they'll start, eating your tomatoes.
Sure, sure.
So what you do is manage them like children. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to respect nature and learn from it instead of trying to control it. I think we can learn a lot from that.
By the way, my daughter, who had a pet chicken, she loved that chicken. She would carry it around under her arm. And when she refused to eat any eggs. I mean, she was my first vegetarian in the house because she loved the animals. And she's my healthiest child. My other kids have all followed suit, thankfully, in the last 30 years. But my daughter was a vegan just because she loved that chicken and would not eat anything like it. She was never in the doctor's office. She was never sick. And I should have, paid attention to that back when she was growing up and making all my kids follow in her path and me. But, sometimes we know things, but we are... not ignorant.
Exactly.
We say, it's kind of like my fellows used to say in cancer research that I worked in. I'd be working in a lab with lungs that were all gray and green and, pussy, and then walk out at break time, and all my fellows from the lab would be against the wall having a cigarette.
Exactly.
I'd say, am I missing something? Am I missing something in this picture here?
I used to work as a dietary aide at a retirement home for 5 years, and I've seen the same thing. Most of the RNs, most of the nurses, was the certified nursing assistants go out and smoke cigarettes and eat all kinds of junk. It happens all the time.
So who is the dumbest animal on the planet? It's us.
I was going to venture that guess.
See,
it seems the rest of the animals know what they're doing, don't they?
It took me 49 years to finally figure out that I should have paid attention to my pathology 30 years earlier. But since 1991, when I was laying on a steel table myself, Clark Ford terminal cancer, I made a commitment to my body and to my creator that I would never violate my science and his counsel again. I don't know, if you're Christian, you should be aware of Genesis 1 and 29, where God creates Adam and Eve, and the first thing he tells them, I provided this garden for you. By the way, I will tell you,
meat
frankly,
for you to eat.
There is no vegetable, fruit, nut, or grain, nothing from the garden can culture, or quite frankly, truly vector a virus or bacteria that will harm you. They always have to be vectored in a package of fat. And the only fat that will protect them is cholesterol. Isn't that kind of weird?
Right.
The virus.
And Dr. Dave was saying that about the animal products. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, there's we were told for so long that cholesterol was so bad for us, and it's not true. I mean, your brain is made of cholesterol. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to eat cholesterol per se, but I do want to say there are naturally occurring poisons in plants. So, for instance, you have cyanide from apple seeds, or you have, you know, like various mushrooms that are poisonous. So not every, you know, not every plant or vegetable or fruit is good for you, just off the bat,
no pun intended. I don't think you want to eat poison sumac or we have a lot of it growing in the rivers over here. I forgot what the name of it is. Yeah, you know, you use wisdom, but the beauty of partaking of the things of the garden, there is no virus, animal viruses, and you're an animal. You don't want to have an animal virus overloading your system. Now, again, it's not wise to be absolutely sterile all the time, because you want to develop some natural immunity. That's why I tell Ken, pet your dog, but don't eat it. You see, as you pet it, you get to have contact with the dead organisms on its skin or fur. That will help your body to prepare antibodies against that. And then in the event you do contaminate your body with an overload of particles, for example, you are dumb enough to eat a bat, for example, then your body can handle it because of your exposure through your pets and through your livestock, or your livestock that you treat as pets. By the way, people say, well, why did God create all these animals? And if we don't kill them, they'll overrun the land. No, they won't. They didn't before we came along. And if they're left on their own, they will naturally maintain their population balance. And they will be your benefit or your friend. You know, it says in Isaiah, whosoever slays the ox is the same as he slays man. Well, guess what? Isaiah also says, beat your swords into plowshare. It's kind of nice to have a good cow to pull the plow. But as long as you don't eat the cow, you can have her keep on pulling the plow. It took me 50 years of my life to finally come to grips with the real purpose of the creatures. They are our companions, and they immunize us for anything that we're, you know, possibly going to be contaminated with, simply by being in contact with them. Like the milkmaids who never suffered from smallpox. Isn't that curious? Why? Because they were handling the cows, and because they were slaves or indentured servants, they were not allowed to drink the milk. Did you know that? They had to live.
I was aware of that. Yes.
A quarter acre of land or less produced garden food. That was their food, and the food that they produced in the dairy was for sale by the elite, and it was only the elite who died with smallpox.
Yeah, we see it all the time, actually, in different different ways. It's like a macro, a microcosm, you know, for what's going on. I just switched to vegetarianism for dietary reasons a couple years ago. And since I've seen, you know, it expressed in Genesis and other places, and I've, of course, seen the slaughterhouse videos and all that, you know, how they abuse animals, et cetera. But yes, I'm just, you know, sitting back and listening to what you're saying, and I appreciate the information, and you as well, Rachel. You both of you know a lot more about this stuff than I do.
Tell you a secret. I had to go to Hollywood, and I helped fine-tune the script for Food Incorporated and also Earthlings. I don't know if you saw Earthlings by Sean Monson. Very powerful documentary. Well, if you can remember Earthlings, I think you can just look up earthlings.com. But I was the, I was the fine tuner for all of that information in terms of pathology.
Well, if you want to hold over, you know, from the break, we just got a quick break and then we'll be right back. If you want to hold on, we'll continue after the break. Please stay with us.
Okay.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Hey, shut your mouth.
Welcome back. We still have you on the line, Tom.
Yeah. Hey, I have a little cute story I want Tom Lacavera to hear if he's listening. It's relative okay, to my friendship with Clive and Bundy. What, about 40 years ago? Well, almost. I was on the way down to Los Angeles. The film people had learned of me, and so they would have me come down and teach the film people that, you know, the best way to stay film or camera ready and script ready. And of course, that's to be a vegetarian. That's a trade secret. And when I say vegetarian, I mean it all the way. Mm-hmm. People use the term vegetarian and they think fish is okay. See, I had to correct Lorraine Day on that one. And I said, let's take a microscope and let's examine the tissues of that fish. And under the microscope, she would be freaking out when she saw what was there, the parasites and the bacteria. But anyway, mm-hmm. I was on the way down one time, I think about 92 or 93, and Cliven may not remember, or he may not want to remember, because what happened, I had stopped to see a friend in Overton, Nevada, you know, just south of Mesquite. Mm-hmm. So I'm heading down, you know, to go to L.A., and I stopped to see my friend. He says, hey, this rancher down the road has the most wonderful patch of melons, cassavas, honeydews, watermelon, cantaloupe, da-da-da. And I said, oh, great. He says, just go down there and introduce yourself. Don't try to talk him into be a vegetarian. I said, that's okay. So I went down to Bunkerville, and I introduced myself to Cliven. And he took me out in the backyard, you know, after I said, I understand you have the most wonderful melons that you grow out on your property. So we went back into that big area of patched melons. I was walking through all the way up to the end, and as we got up to the end of that patch, there was a dead heifer laying in between the rows of melons.
Oh,
and that heifer had been out there for a while and decomposing. What was curious right away is there's a couple of dead bats laying next to this dead heifer, also decomposing, the maggots crawling in and out. But what shocked Cliven, as we were standing there and, you know, making note of this dead animal and the dead bats, his flock of chickens arrived, and they started to consume the maggots like it was a barbecue. Like it was a banquet.
Right.
So I turned to Clive and I said, do you see why I'm a vegetarian or vegan? You know, I don't like to use that term. It sounds like you're weird, right? But I'm a vegetarian 100%. I said, the maggots in that cadaver of that calf and the maggots in those bats are probably infected. When the chickens eat them, now, because the chickens run at a higher temperature, they're protected. Their immune system is more vigorous, but their eggs and tissue are going to carry those infections.
Well, that's about all the time we have, Tom. I appreciate all the information, the stories, and I'm sure Tom appreciated it, too.
Yeah, thank you.
But that's all we got. Just stay safe out there, guys, and don't buy into the hypocrisy of the left or the right. Please donate if you can to RBN and RTR Truth Media. God bless you, Rachel. Thanks for being with us, too.
Take care, man. Happy Easter. And take care.
Happy Easter, everybody. Bye. Bye-bye.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.